So let's look into God's Word today, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be looking at a very powerful scripture. Actually, it's one we started this series with last year. And we talked about this particular verse being the heart of the book of 1 Peter and what message he was communicating to God's people. Here it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So again, remember, Peter was writing this letter to the exiles, the elect exiles of the dispersion, who fled their homes under persecution and were distributed and dispersed throughout the known world at that time. And even though they had lost everything, Peter constantly reminded them that they had really lost nothing in the Lord. They were still chosen. They were still called. They still had a high calling. They still had a high purpose that God wanted to accomplish through their lives. Even though all the wheels were falling off the cart in their life, nothing changed as far as God's plan for them. And how many of us are grateful for that? When everything is going wrong, we're meeting with all kinds of challenge, God still has a plan. He's still working that plan. He says in the book of Isaiah, God says, that which I purposed, that I will do. And no one can thwart my purpose. So we rest in God in that way. Another thing that Peter is bringing out here is he's touching a chord with God's people. Many studies have been made about human behavior, but three things are common. In fact, they're the three top needs of every human being. Number one is the need for food, nourishment. Number two, need for protection. And number three, the need for belonging. We are built for relationship. There's a need to belong to somebody, to a group of people. And Jesus, our Lord, when he came to earth, God, our Heavenly Father, in all of his love, Jesus, the Son of God, brought us into his family, and we belong to him. We have a belonging right now. We are his. There are many groups in the world today, many subcultures that are there because of this great need in our lives for belonging. And the reason we have that need is because God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in a perfect relationship with one another. And when they said, let us make God in our image, we are made in the image of God. Therefore, we are wired for relationship. Now, the problem in the world is we tend to gravitate towards bad relationships or relationships that aren't the best. But there's a sense of belonging. That's why social media is so big. 92% of 18 to 29-year-olds are on social media. That's a big, big number. Why? Because there's a connectiveness. I've got my groups of friends out there, and it's digital relationships. Very big right now. There's also other groups. When I grew up, there were the jocks. Now, I was a jock, and I was not a geek. I wasn't a nerd. That was another group in our school. And they belonged to each other. They had certain things they talked about. The jocks had certain things they talked about. Not too much, but they talked about some things. Some say, well, I'm not a jock. I'm not a nerd. I'm goth. And each of these groups have a certain style of dress, certain things, that the ways they live. When I was a jock, I wore Converse All-Stars. And you dress like you're an athlete all the time. When I got married, I had an old jersey from my eighth grade in high school, finally fit me without shoulder pads, and it was shredded. It was Marty, after 2 years, she goes, can't we throw this thing away? No, I mean, that's part of my past, you know. Oh, groups that we belong to. Well, I'm not goth, I'm an emo. Well, I'm not that, I'm a punk rocker. These groups are formed because people want to belong to somebody. They want acceptance. They want to say, I'm one of you. We're part of this group. Well, I'm not punk. I'm a skater. I'm not a skater. I'm a gamer. I mean, you got all these subculture groups that rally around certain commonalities or whatever it might be, but this is who I am. I'm a cowboy. I'm not a roper. I'm a doper. All right, so you're with another group of people over here. We have these subculture groups because people want to belong. Praise God Almighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, brought us into the one relationship that's a cry of every human being, and that's our relationship with Almighty God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We are reconciled to Him. And yeah, these groups are okay. You know, we can have interests and we can have people we get with, but that is not who we are. We are, as we sang this morning, I'm a child of God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What's been on my heart as a result of the scriptures we're going to read today, two things would happen to us this morning. Number one, we would be caught up in the awe of who we are in Christ. We belong to God. God has called us out of this world to be His very own. And it's a high calling. It's a high calling. And secondly, that God, because we have this high calling, we have this life of Christ, presence of His Holy Spirit, His grace in our life, we are called to live differently than we used to live. It's a different lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that warrants a higher standard of living because of the high calling that we have. And we're going to see Peter was emphasizing this to these Christians, lest they become focused on simply the things of this world. He said, do not forget who you are in Christ. If we back up to verse 7 here in 1 Peter 2, this speaks to Pastor Samuel's powerful message last week on living stones. You know, when we were in those field of dead rocks, when God reached out and picked us up, from the time He picked us up, we had purpose and life and direction, and we had a place in His plan. And in verse 7, it says, so the honor is for you who believe. See, it is an honor to belong to God. Jesus did not come, as we always say, to bring another religion. He came to bring relationship with God. And that's why you find in 1 Peter, many times Peter talks about our conduct. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 12, we're going to get there. He said, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. So there's a way that we are living to be different than the way we lived before. Don't be conformed to the passions of your flesh, of your old life, Peter says, but walk in a way that's honoring God. So because of our high calling, should be a change in our behavior too. And what that does, we're going to see this morning, it releases the power of God in our lives, and He displays His splendor to the world in order to attract people to Himself. Here, 1 Peter chapter 2. You're a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Now, this verse, in fact, all of 1 Peter, especially this verse, is rich, rich, rich in Old Testament references. We can't understand the impact of this verse if we don't understand Israel and the Jews and what God did in their lives. Because the fact that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, we wouldn't understand priesthood if we didn't understand the Old Testament priesthood. We wouldn't understand chosen if we didn't understand Israel was chosen by God. And we see these correlations. Peter brings a continuity here between Israel and the church. Let's look at this. Chosen. You are a chosen race. Isaiah 43, God talks about my chosen people. They're my chosen people. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'm going to read this verse. We're going to find the same terminology used with regard to the Israelites that the Holy Spirit uses with regard to us as God's people. Here in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, verse 6, the Lord says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you. There's that word. Chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. There's an added word there. We're not only a people of God's possession, we are a treasured possession. Do you feel treasured? Do you feel that special that someone treasures you, places so much value on your life? Well, this is how God does with us. We are His treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number, the Lord says to Israel, than any other people, that God set His love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all the peoples, but it was because the Lord loves you. Loves you. Do you think that's a message that needs to be heard today? So many people, some in Christianity and outside Christianity, really don't feel loved, and don't feel treasured, and lack in an understanding of what that means. In fact, very few people in the nation of Israel understood what that meant. Very few of them really enjoyed that they were a people of God's own possession. And so, what were they doing a lot? Grumbling and complaining, all right? There was a lot of that. There was only a few, it's interesting throughout the Old Testament, only a few among God's people, Israel, really understood who they were in Him and walked in it. And those were the ones that God displayed His power and majesty through their lives. One of them was Moses. Moses, God called Moses, and the Lord says, "Wherever you go, Moses, I am with you." So God delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt with a powerful supernatural demonstration of who He is. I mean, all of the miracles that God performed in Egypt were displaying the splendor of God over and against the dead idols that Egypt was serving. So God says, "I am the God of the Nile. Turn the Nile into blood. I am the Lord over every insect, every gnat. At my beckoning, they will just flood the earth like dust. I'm the Lord over the frogs. They come out and they fill Egypt." Where did all those frogs come from? Okay? God is the Lord. He's the creator of all things. "I'm the Lord of the lightning and the hail and the thunder. I'm the Lord of light and darkness." There was darkness, pitch darkness over the land of Egypt, but there was light in Goshen over God's people. What was God doing there? He was displaying His splendor through the nation of Israel to the people who are worshiping false gods. That's always been God's plan. God's plan has always been to display His glory through His people. When God called Abraham, He said, "All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So God, that's why He created Israel, to display His splendor and eventually bring the Messiah. Here you have Joshua and Caleb. When Israel left Egypt, there were 600,000 men, just men, not counting women and children. 600,000. A good portion of them were 20 years old and older. All right? They were of military age. When they came to Kadesh Barnea to enter into the promised land, and God said, "I will go before you and give those nations into your hands," all those fighting soldiers, maybe a couple hundred thousand, I don't know how many there were, would not go in. They said, "The giants are too big. The walls are too great. They're going to eat us up like you step on grasshoppers." Okay? There's no way we can do this, even though the Lord said, "This is the land I'm giving to you." How many of all those tens and tens of thousands of soldiers believed in God? Two. That's all. Of all of them. Yet God had created them to be a nation. God had displayed His glory to them. God had opened up the Red Sea as Moses, who knew He was God, say, "Don't be afraid of those Egyptians. You're not going to see them anymore. The Egyptians you see today, you're not going to see anymore. God will fight for you. He is our God." Moses was constantly trying to get the people of Israel to trust in God, to know who they were in Him. And then God displayed His splendor through opening the Red Sea. Here's Joshua and Caleb, and they're the only two that said, "Our God will fight for us. Those people are like bread to us. He's going to go forward. We belong to Him. We are the people of God, Almighty God." That was Joshua and Caleb. But not another soldier went with them. And they all died in the wilderness in 40 years. 40 years. 1 year for every day that they spied out the land. 40 days. And all the men, 20 years old and up, died in the wilderness. Not a lot of God's people really understood who they were in Him. Aren't we glad we're not like that today as Christians, right? Do you think we need to really understand the high calling that He's given us? That we are a treasured possession? We belong to Almighty God. We're not the same anymore. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away. All things have become new because now we're part of His kingdom. There's a different way of thinking. There's a different perspective on life. Different way that we act in our marriages and in our homes. We have life with a capital L. God has given us that. But there's a lot of Christians who just don't see that. They think, "Oh, okay, I'm saved. And so whatever I do in life is a whatever. My language on the job, whatever. That's just who I am. The way that I places that I frequent, whatever, attitude towards people, whatever. And whatever Christians really seldom see the power of God in their life. God wants us to display his power in us, supernatural power, wherever we go. I was playing racquetball years ago, and in the locker room getting ready to leave, and this guy was there, and I could tell by the way he was walking, he had a hurting back, hurting. He was hurting for certain. So I said, hey, boy, you got a bad back. I've had back problems too. And I said, you know, I'm a Christian, and we pray for healing, and I've seen God heal backs. And this is what Jesus came to do, to bring healing. And we're in the locker room talking. I've never seen him before. And I said, mind if I pray for you? And he goes, sure, if you want. So here I am, got our towels on, laid my hand on his shoulder. And I said, Lord, show this guy who you are and heal his back in the name of Jesus. And God healed him instantly. That guy got up. He goes, whoa, oh, I feel good. He's moving around, touching his toes, no pain. He goes, oh, man, thanks. Now, he did not get down on his knees and say, I want Jesus in my life. No. But the Lord touched him. God just wants to use us to display his splendor and glory. That's why we live here. That's what we are made for. So oftentimes we shoot ourselves in the foot by our lifestyle, living a life like the world, even though we claim to be God's, and not really understanding who we are. I am a child of God, just like we sang today. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. So it makes me different than everybody else. So here you have Jesus. Jesus tells those who followed him, his apostles, in John 15, he says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God wanted people to see his transforming power in the lives of his disciples. He chose them out of the world. And Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. That's a different level of relationship, right? Yeah. And you know the beautiful thing about God for the Christian, those of you who are on social network? God will never unfriend you. Isn't that good news? He will not unfriend you. If you blow it, you say something you shouldn't, you know, God is there. You are a treasured possession of his. We can come, we can say, Lord, forgive me, I blew it. Forgive me, and we can receive his forgiveness and move on into his will for our lives. You are a chosen race, Peter said. Secondly, Peter said, you're not only a chosen race, you are a royal priesthood. Now, we would not understand what that means unless we understand the Old Testament priesthood, where God set apart the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, descendants of Levi, to be the people who will worship God and lead the nation in worship of God. There's a certain way God wanted to be worshiped, and the Levites were responsible to make sure that the worship of God was reverent, and it was the way that God intended. It was a way that would exalt him. That was the job of the Levites. And they were given no possession in the land, by the way, of Canaan. God says, they are to be given no land. I am their possession, God says. The Levites, high calling, high calling. Exodus chapter 19, I'm going to go into another couple of verses here, because Peter brings this beautiful continuity between Israel and the church. Exodus 19, here again, you have God speaking to Israel, and he says in verse 4, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. See, this personal relationship with Almighty God. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession. Wow, there it is again. My treasured possession. Among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know where that's quoted in the New Testament? Revelation chapter 5, when we're before the throne of God, with people from every tribe and language and tongue, he says, we are a kingdom of priests before God. We are there to represent God to the people and the people to God. We are there. Our lives should display his splendor. It's a high, high calling. And every Christian is called to be a priest before Almighty God. Sometimes we think, well, that's only for church staff. No, only for elders. Only pastors and elders, they should act like priests, not us. God says every Christian is called to be a priest, to worship Him in the way that He wants us to worship Him, and to lead others in that way. That's why every Christian is a discipler. We should all be involved in the spiritual growth of somebody else, because that's our calling. That's our high privilege. Anybody here feel privileged to be God's? Honored to belong to Him? I pray God opens our understanding with regard to this. It's a high calling. Did you know that some priests, in fact, most of the priests, did not take God seriously? Even though God had this calling on their life, most of the priests in the Old Testament did not really take that to heart. Exodus chapter 24, going up a little farther. This is a powerful picture here. Exodus 24 and Leviticus 10. Here in Exodus 24, God brings Aaron, the high priest, and his two sons with Moses and 70 of the elders of Israel. And it says in verse 9 of Exodus 24, and they went up to the mountain. This was Aaron, Nadab, and Elihu, his sons, and 70 elders. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And God did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. And they beheld God, and they ate and drank. Wow. How would you like to be a fly on a rock when they did that? They beheld God in His majesty and splendor. They didn't see His face, but they beheld His splendor. This is Nadab and Abihu. So they are called to be priests. And in Exodus chapter 30, one of the jobs of the priesthood was to continue to put oil in the lamp before the Lord to be burned continually. And this oil had to have a special mixture that God prescribed. It couldn't be Wesson oil, couldn't be Crisco. It was not cooking oil. Any old oil would not do. It was a specific oil, and the priests were the ones that mixed it together and brought it before the Lord. It was special to God, okay? So you get here to Leviticus chapter 10. And here you have these two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who saw the Lord in all of His splendor, who heard their responsibilities before God as priests, high calling to be priests. They wore special gowns. They were set apart to the Lord. And here in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, these same two men. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which He did not command them. So what were they doing there? They thought, oh, whatever. I mean, can God, is this that big of a deal to have certain oil? We got oil, we don't have the oil we need, but hey, let's just use this oil. Oil is oil, right? No. But they had a whatever attitude. They didn't think God was serious about His word. Was God serious about His word? Next verse. Yeah. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. See, with the high calling comes greater responsibility. He who is given much, to whom much is required. As Christians, we are given much before God. We have His life. We have His word. We have His presence. We have His promises. We have direction. We know the end of the story. We already know where the world's going to end up, right? We already have read that. We have everything. And so there's much required of us before Almighty God, because we have it all. Years ago, my son Sam and I were watching a Bronco game on Sunday afternoon. Broncos get a touchdown against them. We look at each other and, well, a lot of game left. Another touchdown against them. They're down two touchdowns going in the second quarter. They kick a field goal and another touchdown against them going into the halftime. And I look at Sam. I said, Sam, this is going to be great. Oh, this is going to be great. Watch. Sam goes, yeah, I know, Dad. We're eating popcorn. Fourth quarter, another four touchdowns down in the third quarter. I said, Sam, this is going to be awesome. Awesome. You know why? We DVR'd the game. They had played earlier that Sunday. We knew the Broncos won. We already knew that. And so when they were down 4 touchdowns in the third quarter, oh, this is going to be good. How did they get out of this? They did it. Well, that's how we are as Christians. We know what God is going to do, but we forget. And therefore, we ride this emotional roller coaster with the rest of the world as far as what's going to happen. And oh, no. No, we don't have to ride that emotional roller coaster. We are children of the King. We're part of His kingdom. We are His own possession. We are different than the world. Different perspective, different understanding of God, different knowledge of His Word, the moral standard of all creation. And Nadab and Abihu, even though they saw the splendor of God, they didn't take God seriously. They didn't take their calling seriously. So then Moses said to Aaron, verse 3, "This is what the Lord said among those who are near to me. I will be sanctified before all the people. I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. You know why? Because he said, through the priesthood, I will be glorified before all the people. That's the responsibility of the priest. We're all a kingdom of priests, by the way. And so you could drop down here to verse 8. Very interesting verses here. This was highlighted to me as I'm reading through the Bible this year. And it says, "And the Lord spoke to Aaron, a high priest, saying, 'Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die.'" In other words, don't take anything that's going to dull your senses or make you relax what you know is right before me when you come into my presence. You don't drink when you're coming into the presence of God, because that changes the way we look at things, normally in a wrong way. This is the calling of the priest. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, "For the priests, you are to distinguish between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord your God has spoken by Moses." So that was a calling of the priests. The priests were not only to take care of the temple, but they were to teach the people to discern between what's really right and wrong. What's clean and unclean? What's common and worldly? And what is holy and godly? They were called to have that kind of discernment, to grow in that discernment. Aren't we glad we do that today? We have the power to do that today. We have to grow in our understanding of that. So this was God's directive for the priest. So we move, when we come to Christ, we move from carelessness in our decisions, whatever, to carefulness. Watching what we say, watching what we do. There are people watching us. You claim to be a Christian, there are people watching you. Over the years I've been here, from time to time, not too often, but I've had people from the community come to church, and first time they were here, came one time, and I probably didn't see them again, some of them. They'll come up to me and they'll say, "Pastor Doug, that guy over there, how long has he been coming to church?" I said, "Oh, about 10 years. They said, "We would have never known he was a Christian by the way he deals with people, the way he talks on the job and that." And that's sad. You know, people are watching us. They're listening to us. We have a very high and holy calling, and we should honor God in that. And we have the grace to do that. In fact, we have the freedom to do that. I don't have to be an emo or a geek. Or I don't have to belong to some group, or I don't have to find some place where I'm accepted, okay? Don't need that anymore. It's okay to be a geek. But that's not my identity. That's not where I feel loved. I feel loved before Almighty God. I'm a part of His family. I'm a part of His children. That's who I am. Also, very interesting, God takes note. In the book of Ezekiel, this is not in your notes, and you don't have to turn there if you're tired. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, is God really that concerned about the priesthood? Oh, yes. He knows what's going on. And here in Ezekiel 44, God recognizes that most of the priests did not honor him the way he wanted to be honored. Korah and his rebellion, 250 leaders comes before Moses. It was common that the priests went through it as a religious exercise, but they did not realize the relationship. But there was one group of priests that did, and God recognized them. In Ezekiel 44, verse 15, "But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the people of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me. And they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord. And they shall enter my sanctuary and approach my table to minister to me. And then he goes on in verse 28. And this shall be their inheritance. I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. These were the sons of Zadok, who, even though the other priests and the people went away from God, they stood solid. In fact, when Absalom was against David, who did they go with? They went with David. They continued to honor the Lord's anointing. The special family here. God takes note of that. He's a rewarder of those who love him and walk with him. Revelation 5, we are a kingdom of priests. We make up the king's house. When we come together, we're living stones built together. And we make up the royal residence of the king here. That's why our songs are majestic, declaring who he is. That's why we do what we do. Thirdly, you're not only a chosen race, a royal priesthood, but you are a holy nation. Now, we understand, we've talked a lot about this here, holy does not mean perfect. Does anybody remember what holy means? What's the root word of holy? Different. Yeah. The root word of holy is different. We are to live differently than the people around us. We talk differently. We act differently. We respond to situations differently. My good friend Greg came to Christ watching the difference in my life. One day we were in a gym playing basketball, and I went back to my locker. My locker had been broken into. All the money that I was going to pay my rent with, a couple hundred dollars in my wallet, stolen. Greg and the buddies with me, they started grabbing guys in the locker. Hey, who took Toller's wallet? I said, guys, it's okay. Stop. It's all right. It's the Lord's money now. You know, if we find it, we find it. If we don't, we don't. And Greg looked at me, and that was such a change in me, because I was such a self-centered, selfish guy before. And he saw that I was free from these things that I felt like I had to have, even then. And here we go. We leave the locker room. We get to his house where I was living. And on the TV set is a letter from a tax return that I was not planning on. And it covered all the money that was stolen from my wallet. And Greg goes, whoa. It was those kind of things that led him to Christ. We are to live differently than the world. We have an almighty God that wants to work in our lives supernaturally. It's a high calling. I'm a child of God. When David, remember David, the little shepherd boy? Israel was fighting the Philistines. Most of the people did not understand that they were a treasured possession of God. They didn't understand how much God loved them and wanted to work through their life. They didn't get it. And so you have Saul's army trembling before the Philistines. Why? Because Goliath, this guy that's over 9 feet tall, he'd make Shaq O'Neal look small, all right? If you know basketball, most of you don't probably know that. But I mean, a huge warrior. And he comes before Israel every day. And he says, I defy the armies of Saul. Those were the words he used. I defy the armies of Saul. And let a man come out. And if I beat him, you'll serve us. And if he beats me, hand-to-hand combat, then we'll serve you. Every day. And finally, David comes up. Remember the story? And he hears Goliath come out with these same words. And David turns around to the soldiers who were trembling in their equipment, scattering. Why? Because they did not realize who they were. But David did. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? He didn't say defying the armies of Saul. David changed his words. Goliath said the army of Saul. David said, no, we're the army of the living God. He knew who he was. That was the strength that he had. Most people in the Old Testament did not get what we're talking about today. And Peter wanted the Christians to get it. To get it so that we could live lives that would display his splendor. We're free to do that. Of course, Goliath didn't make it. He did not have a good day that day. Moses told Israel, Deuteronomy 4, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Whenever we call on him. And what great nation is there that has his statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? There is nobody. We are a nation among nations, a holy nation, privileged to be Almighty God. And listen to God's heart in Deuteronomy 5. Oh, that they had such a heart, the Lord says, as this always, to fear me and keep all my commandments, that it may go well with them and with their descendants after them. Why does God give us his word? Why does he call us to obedience? That it might go well with us. And not only with us, with our children. And our children's children, our descendants. This is the heart of God. Whenever I read that verse, I feel the groaning in the heart of God. Oh, that my people would just understand who they are and what I've done for them and what I want in them. Do you think that would change our lives if we really grasped that? Oh, yeah. I'm a child of God. I'm in his kingdom now. I belong to him. I'm his treasured possession. And because of that, now here on earth, we're ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. See, he wants our lives to display his splendor. He wants our mouths to declare his greatness, to declare the good news of Jesus and what Christ has done. We're ambassadors. We're his representatives. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's restored relationship. That's who we are. We're ambassadors. And an ambassador, if you look it up, the dictionary, which I did, is a minister of the highest rank, representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. That's, we are representing Almighty God, his kingdom, and his sovereignty here on earth. It is so easy to forget that. And when we lose sight of that, we live like the world, even though we claim to be Christians. We just live like the world. Because we miss the understanding that I have a high and holy calling here. Oh, a people of his own possession. Number four, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own treasured possession. We're a people of his own possession. We are his. He's called us to be his own. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Why God chose us, I don't know. That's a mystery. But he does what he wants to do, and everything God does, everything he does, is loving and kind and merciful. Even when it doesn't look like that. Because that's who he is. He's got this marvelous plan, and what an honor. What an honor to be a part of it. Last verse, Isaiah 43, God treats his people with special care. And here, again, Peter is drawing the continuity between how God worked with the children of Israel and his faithfulness and how he would work in his church at even a greater degree than with the children of Israel, because now we have the Holy Spirit. Now we're temples of the Holy Spirit. Now we have the grace of God. Now we are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now we already have all we need for life and godliness through his precious and very great promises. We are his people. We're his possession, part of his kingdom. We want to fulfill what he wants in our life. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? That is not our life any longer. Praise God, right? We don't live for the world any longer. We have the honor and the privilege. The honor is ours to live our lives for him, to give him praise. And here, God treats his people this way. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob. Here's the continuity between Israel and Christians. Who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. How many are grateful that Jesus has redeemed us? Out of slavery. He redeemed us out of slavery into freedom. That's what redeem means. I have called you by name and you are mine. You're mine. Boy, if we just let that sink into our hearts. God says, you are mine from now on. So what happens as a result of that? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. All the challenges of life, everything that could go wrong in our life will not overwhelm us. Why? Because I'm his. And he's in charge of everything. He's in control of everything. Yeah, the waters may rise, and I get nervous, but I have a promise that he is with me every part, and life does not have to overwhelm me. You know, especially with young people today, life is very overwhelming. overwhelming. We have a suicide rate of young people just starting to climb, because they don't see hope. They don't want to grow up in a world with all this evil and pain, and they see no hope. We have the message of hope and life for them. What an honor that is for us, right? You know, and if we get caught up in the world, we forget that. We forget that. No, for God's people, the floods of life, the fires of life are not going to overwhelm his people because he's in charge of all that. For I am the Lord your God, the Lord says in verse 3, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I wonder what Isaiah was thinking when he was penning these words. I give Egypt as your ransom and Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. That's a great verse to put on your mirror in the morning to start your day. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. And I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you, and I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. He's the Lord of all the earth. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. This is a strong prophecy that was fulfilled today in Israel, by the way. And then, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is our God. This is who we are in him. So as Peter was encouraging the early church to know who they are in Christ and that God still has a plan for them, even though the nations don't know who they are, God knows who they are. Even though their life is in a total upheaval and they're not sure what's going to happen next, they are secure in the Lord because they are his treasured possession, and that never changes. And God's plan for them will not be thwarted no matter what the world deals to them. And so it is with us. Is that good news? That is good news. Oh, that God would help us to understand what an honor it is to be his and how that should change the way we act, talk, live, work, think. This is why Jesus said, have no anxiety in anything. How can you not have anxiety in anything? Because there's so many things around us to cause anxiety, right? We have plenty to worry about. Jesus says, don't. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. That's relationship. Oh, okay, wait. I'm a part of your family, Lord. I don't have to worry about this. You will never fail. You will never forsake. You will never unfriend me. Isn't that great news? Let's bow for prayer today, okay? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the good news of your word, the encouragement of the scriptures. And Lord, the things we're looking at today, some of us need to be reminded of this regularly. It's so easy to become discouraged, depressed, and anxious about life because life can be so overwhelming. But because we're yours and you are Almighty God in control of everything, we can rest in you. When your word says, be still and know that I am God, Lord, we are yours. And we can have that peace. Lord, you know every person in this room. If there's anybody sitting here today and we don't know what situations everyone's in, Lord, if there's someone who feels like they've lost the peace that they had in you, and they're a Christian, and they put their trust in you, let that be restored right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever challenges they're facing, whether it's a physical challenge, emotional challenge, financial challenge, family challenge, life challenge, transition times, you're the Lord of all. We can rest in you. We can rest. Let that rest come upon our brothers and sisters today. Satan wants to rob us of our peace and joy, but he's a defeated foe, and he knows it, and he's a liar. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room or anyone listening to us through the web or any other way, and they've never really embraced Christ as Savior of their life, Jesus came to give you life and to forgive you of your sins. He paid the price with his shed blood on the cross, to remove your sin so you could have access to the presence of God for all eternity. Jesus did this for you. And God is drawing you to him very well if you're listening to this or here today. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Come into the life that Jesus has. surrender your life to Him, because there's life in no one else. We're going to be here to pray for people today, but if there's anyone that wants to make that step, we are here for you to pray with you. Lord, thank you. Oh God, we give you praise for all these things. And now, Lord, we lift this last song up to you again to honor you in our midst today and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.